Viking Expansion, C750, C1050. OCR GCSE History Revision Podcast. Hello, and welcome to your OCR GCSE History Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor, and today we are diving deep into one of the most fascinating and frequently misunderstood topics on the specification, Viking Expansion, from around 750 to around 1050 CE. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Vikings, longships, helmets, raiding monasteries. And yes, all of that is part of the story. But here's the thing that examiners absolutely love to reward: the ability to see the Vikings as far more than just raiders. They were traders, settlers, explorers, diplomats, and empire builders. By the end of this podcast, you will be able to explain why they expanded, where they went, who the key figures were, and, crucially, how to write about all of this in a way that earns you top marks in your OCR exam. So grab your revision notes, maybe a highlighter, and let's get started. Let's begin with the big question. Why did the Vikings expand in the first place? Examiners want you to demonstrate understanding of causation here, and they are looking for you to go beyond simply saying they wanted to raid. There were multiple interconnected causes, and the best candidates show how these causes combined. First, and arguably most important, was population pressure. Scandinavia in the 8th century had a growing population, but severely limited agricultural land. Historians estimate that only around 3% of Scandinavian land was actually suitable for farming. With more mouths to feed and not enough land to go around, younger sons in particular, who under primogeniture inheritance laws received nothing when their father died because everything went to the eldest son, had a powerful incentive to seek their fortunes elsewhere. This is a structural long-term cause that you should always mention. Second, there was the technological factor. The Vikings had developed the longship, a revolutionary piece of naval engineering. These vessels were shallow drafted, meaning they could navigate rivers as well as open seas. They were fast, flexible, and could be beached directly on a shore without needing a harbor. This technology made expansion possible in a way it simply hadn't been before. Credit is given for candidates who link cause to capability here. The desire to expand existed, but the longship made it achievable. Third, political instability within Scandinavia itself pushed many chieftains and their followers outward. Feuding between rival jarls and kings meant that losers in these conflicts often had to flee or seek new territories. Now, here is something critically important for your exam, and I cannot stress this enough. The Vikings were not a single, unified group. Examiners specifically penalize candidates who treat them as monolithic. You must distinguish between three distinct spheres of activity. The Danish Vikings primarily targeted England, Ireland, and Francia, modern-day France. It was Danish Vikings who carried out the famous raid on Lindisfarne in 793, which is traditionally seen as the beginning of the Viking Age. It was Danish Vikings who formed the Great Heathen Army in 865. Note that specific name, the Great Heathen Army, not just a Viking army, which invaded England under leaders including Ivar the Boneless and Halfdan. This army conquered much of northern and eastern England, establishing what became known as the Danelaw. The Norwegian Vikings, by contrast, focused on the North Atlantic and the Western Isles. They settled Iceland around 874, Greenland around 985 under Eric the Red, and Leif Erikson reached North America, which the Norse called Vinland, around the year 1000. Norwegian Vikings also settled extensively in Ireland, founding the city of Dublin, and in Scotland's northern and western isles. The Swedish Vikings, often called the Varangians, pushed eastward. They established trade routes through what is now Russia, using the Great River systems, the Volga and the Dnieper, to reach the Byzantine Empire at Constantinople, and even the Abbasid Caliphate at Baghdad. These were primarily commercial ventures, trading furs, amber, and slaves for silver and silk. The Varangian Guard, an elite mercenary unit serving the Byzantine Emperor, was composed largely of Swedish Vikings. Now let's talk about the phases of expansion, because this is crucial for your write and account questions. Phase 1, roughly 793 to 850, was the raiding phase. Hit-and-run attacks on coastal monasteries and settlements. Lindisfarne in 793 is your key example. Monasteries were targeted because they were wealthy, poorly defended, and located on coasts and rivers. Phase 2, roughly 850 to 900, saw a shift to overwintering and then permanent settlement. Rather than returning home after raids, Viking forces began staying through the winter, establishing bases. The Great Heathen Army's arrival in 865 marks the transition to outright conquest in England. Phase 3, roughly 900 to 1016, saw the establishment of permanent political entities. Jorvik, modern York, became a major Viking city. The Danelaw was formalized through the Treaty of Wedmore in 878 between Alfred the Great and the Danish leader Guthrum, dividing England along a boundary roughly following Watling Street. Phase 4, Tezen 16-1042, represents the apex of Viking political power, the North Sea Empire of King Canute. By 1016, Canute, son of Swain Forkbeard, ruled England, Denmark, Norway, and parts of Sweden simultaneously. This was a genuine empire, and it represents the culmination of 3 centuries of Viking expansion. Let's briefly cover the key individuals you must know. Ivar the Boneless was one of the leaders of the Great Heathen Army. His nickname may refer to a physical condition or may be a mistranslation, but what matters for your exam is that he was instrumental in the conquest of Northumbria in 866. Alfred the Great, King of Wessex from 871, is the English counterpart you must know. His victory at the Battle of Edington in 878 halted Danish expansion southward and led to the Treaty of Wedmore. Swain Forkbeard became the first Viking king of all England in 1013, forcing the Anglo-Saxon king Ethelred the Unready into exile. His reign was brief, he died in 1014, but it paved the way for his son. Canute, or Canute, ruled England from 1016 and built the North Sea Empire. He was a sophisticated ruler who adopted English customs, issued law codes, and was accepted by the English church. His reign shows the transformation from raider to statesman. Right, let's talk exam technique, because this is where marks are won and lost. Common mistake number 1, conflating the raiding phase with the political conquest phase. I hear this all the time. Students write about Vikings raiding England when the question is about the Danelaw or Canute. These are completely different phases separated by over a century. Lindisfarne in 793 is raiding. The Great Heathen Army in 865 is conquest. Canute in 1016 is empire building. Keep them separate in your mind and in your answers. Common mistake number 2, treating Vikings as one group. Danish, Norwegian, Swedish, 3 different spheres. 3 different stories. If a question asks about trade routes to Constantinople, you need to be talking about Swedish Varangians, not Danish raiders. Common mistake number 3, writing narrative instead of analysis in explain why questions. Examiners are not rewarding you for telling the story. They want you to explain causation. Use phrases like this led to expansion because, as a direct consequence of, the significance of this was that. The command word explain means you must make the causal link explicit. For write an account questions, that's question 2 on your paper, use chronological linking words. Words like subsequently, as a direct result of this, this in turn led to consequently. These signal to the examiner that you understand sequence and consequence, which is exactly what AO1 structure marks are awarded for. For the 18 mark essay, questions 4 or 5, allocate a full 25 minutes. You need an introduction that sets out your criteria for judgment, at least 2 developed paragraphs arguing one side, a counterargument paragraph, and a conclusion that makes a clear, sustained judgment. The conclusion must not just summarize, it must weigh the relative importance of factors. When analyzing sources, question 1, always state your inference first, then support it with a specific detail from the source, then consider the provenance. Ask yourself, who created this source, when, and why? How does that affect its usefulness and reliability? Okay, quick fire recall time. I'll ask a question, pause, then give the answer. Try to answer before I do. Question 1. What year was the raid on Lindisfarne? The answer is 793. Question 2. What was the name of the large Danish force that invaded England in 865? The Great Heathen Army. Question 3. Which treaty in 878 divided England between Alfred and the Danes? The Treaty of Wedmore. Question 4. What was the eastern trade route used by Swedish Vikings called, and what 2 rivers did it use? The Varangian route, using the Volga and the Dnieper rivers. Question 5. Who ruled the North Sea Empire from 1016, controlling England, Denmark, Norway, and parts of Sweden? King Canute, also spelled Canute. Question 6. What is the term for the area of England under Viking law and control? The Danelaw. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and review that section of your notes. Let's bring it all together. Viking expansion between 750 and 1050 was driven by a combination of population pressure, limited agricultural land, primogeniture inheritance laws, technological innovation in shipbuilding, and political instability in Scandinavia. It progressed through four distinct phases: raiding, overwintering and settlement, political conquest, and finally empire under Hunyadi. The Vikings were not a monolithic group. Danish Vikings focused on England and Francia. Norwegian Vikings explored the North Atlantic. Swedish Varangians built trade networks reaching Constantinople and Baghdad. The Danelaw was not just a military boundary. It was a cultural hybrid zone where Norse and Anglo-Saxon cultures blended, leaving lasting legacies in English place names, legal traditions, and language. For your exam, always use specific knowledge, dates, names, and events. Always analyze rather than narrate, and always make your causal links explicit. You've got this. Good luck in your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode.